Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and as always, thank you so much for joining me on At Home with Victoria. I'm Victoria Gaither, your host and also photojournalist and all-around good person. And listen, I always love it when you guys are able to take some time out of your day, especially at the 6 o'clock hour, to be here and join me on the show. We're going to have a pretty interesting discussion, and largely it's based on me and something that my family is currently going through right now. For those of you that don't know, and a lot of you do follow me on social media, I've had 3 family members that have died as a result of the coronavirus. My aunt Leslie has passed away, my cousin Nikki, and also my cousin John Jr. has passed away. So you guys can imagine having to deal with this type of grief, having 3 family members within 2 weeks to die. It's been very, very difficult. So my very good friend, Bill Passad, is joining us. And Bill has a background in television news. He's worked for local and national news. But right now, currently, he is a health counselor, and he's based out of Houston, Texas, and has been so kind to join me today to basically talk about grieving, to talk about loss, and also perhaps some things that we can do as America to get through this. Bill, thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome, Victoria. It is good to talk to you, although I regret the circumstances, and I'm sorry for your losses.
Thank you very much. And, Bill, one of the reasons why I reached out to you is because just not being equipped and able to deal with this situation, and I know that you are in terms of the vocabulary and basically navigating people around what's happening. So let's just start off by just talking about dealing with overall grief. How does one process just dealing with grief?
It has become very, very difficult because of all the things that we take it for granted that might come with saying goodbye to a loved one. Many people are not getting that. They're not allowed to go into the hospital rooms. At times, hospitals have closed waiting rooms. And, of course, the ritual that one might have in reference to a funeral or a viewing, all of those have changed, and it has created some overwhelming emotions for a lot of people.
Yeah, it has, and me including, because we weren't able to have a proper burial for my family members, and I think we're close to what 90,000 Americans that have died as a result of the virus, you know, deserve a proper burial and a proper saying of goodbye. So even something like that, it's very difficult because, Bill, you can't do that.
Exactly, and we've had to maybe think out of the box when it comes to a funeral or some type of gathering after a person passes away. We've had to take a look at a virtual gathering, maybe on the day where you would have held the viewing or the funeral, maybe setting up a temporary social networking group such as a Facebook site so everyone can share their memories. So we've had to try to think out of the box, but in many cases, nothing replaces what our expectation would have been for being able to say goodbye to a loved one. And at times, we start to take ourselves to a really dark neighborhood when we think of our loved one's last moments, such as, you know, we weren't present to say goodbye. We weren't present to hold their hand. We weren't present right after they were intubated. So it's a really difficult situation to try to maneuver, and it's pretty much unprecedented in our lifetimes.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I know, just thinking about my family members, I think about them, Bill, collectively together as a group in terms of family functions, 4th of July, Thanksgiving, that all of us would do things together. and then I grieve them individually. So I grieve Nikki for who she is and what she represents, and she was engaged to get married this year. I grieve John Jr., who worked for the United States Post Office and who made sure that I knew when the new Gwen Ifill stamp was coming out, who's a African-American journalist that passed away. I grieve my aunt, you know, over things. So it's interesting how my brain grieves them individually, but I also collectively grieve them as a family unit.
Right. You grieve the loss of the roles that these people may have played in your family, with Nikki getting engaged and maybe John Jr. Being the family jokester, or Aunt Leslie being the matriarch of the family. All of those roles now have suddenly disappeared in a way that we would never have forecast. So you're going through grief at very different levels, and your grief at times is very different from the stages that the average person goes through. For example, if you take a look at some of the stages that a person goes through when they grieve, denial used to be the stage that you would go through, and it would have certain reactions and symptoms. Now, denial has been, with some people saying, all of this is overblown, that it's the same as the flu, and if I'm in a certain age group, I'll be fine. Then it's turned into anger, as in, who do we blame? Do we blame China? Do we blame medical providers? Do we blame the White House? Do we blame a particular party? And then we do a bargaining process, saying maybe it's okay to spend time with others as long as they wash their hands before they see me. Part of the bargaining process at times can backfire, because if your bargaining process is to say this will be over by a certain date, like this will be over by Hanukkah, or this will be over by Christmas or the new year, that can be difficult, and that might set you up for failure. There is some research done on people who had endured prison camps during the Vietnam War, and what they discovered was that the optimists, the people who set dates for getting back to the U.S., were the ones who got psychologically fractured. It's called the Stockdale Paradox. The people who made it through psychologically were the ones who accepted that it's going to get worse, but eventually we will get out. So I've been talking to my patients about the possibility of this getting worse, but eventually we're all going to make it out. The other stage is despair, where people talk about, I can't go to work, I can't earn money, pretty soon I will be broke, I might be homeless. So that takes place, and then hopefully some of us have gotten into the acceptance stage, where we take a look at what we can and can't control. You can't control the pandemic, but you can do your part in sheltering in place and washing your hands and trying to stay positive and trying to adapt your life to the new normal. And now we've had to make more adaptations because some people are gradually going back to work. So the grief process is, some of the stages are the same, but the things that we say and think around those stages during a pandemic where we lose someone or we lose things has become really, really different. And then there are people who are suffering other losses. They're grieving the loss of their job, or they've been furloughed, or they have lost their economic security. They can't go to the gym. There are assumptions that go along with this. And then trust in our systems. At times, people have lost trust in the systems they believe in. It might be the system of medicine. It might be the system of government. So there are a lot of fractures in the way we see some of these things, and people are suffering a large number of losses, everywhere from I lost my job to I'm afraid I'll lose my life, I've lost my security, or I've lost a loved one.
Yeah. Very, very good information. For those of you that are just joining us, if you weren't with us at the top of the hour, Bill Posad is joining us. Bill is a therapist. He's also in the media, so he's certainly well-equipped to have this discussion. Bill, one of the other aspects that I wanted to talk about, and that is being that the coronavirus is very, very hitting strong within the African American and Hispanic community. In my case, Nikki, she had no underlying conditions whatsoever. John Jr. did have asthma, but Nikki was healthy, so, you know, according to the statistics and what we were told, she should still be alive today. But let's just sort of focus in on that aspect of it. I know you've got some information from the CDC as it pertained to Hispanics, Latinos, and African Americans.
Right. Some of the research shows that compared to whites, Hispanics and African Americans are three times as likely to be struck by the coronavirus. And also what parallels that is compared to whites, Hispanics and African Americans are sometimes three times or two times as likely not to be insured. If we take a look at one state, neighboring Louisiana, African Americans accounted for 70% of COVID-19 deaths. So if we take a look at why, there are a number of different reasons, both psychologically, medically, and sociologically. One of the reasons is living conditions. Minority groups more likely are to live in densely populated urban areas. Sometimes the areas within the cities that they live in are farther away from medical facilities. And then if we go to our jail or prison or detention center, African Americans are overly represented in those institutions. And of course, those are cramped quarters and people can get sick really easily. Also, the types of work that African Americans do, critical workers that have to work, the risk of infection may be greater for workers in essential industries. And nearly a quarter of employed Hispanic and Black or African American workers are employed in service industry jobs as compared to 16% of non-Hispanic whites. There are also morbid situations where a person has hypertension and diabetes, and so once again, large numbers of the Black community have hypertension and diabetes, and of course, this affects your ability to keep the infection away, and if you are infected, it makes your situation more perilous.
It's just one of those things too, Bill, when you just watch the news and you see the numbers and you just sort of shake your head. But of course, what you just said really does explain all of this and what's happening. Bill Passad is who we're talking to. Bill has all the information at his fingertips. He's based out of Houston, Texas. And Bill, unfortunately, because my producer put the wrong time and we only have about another 3 minutes, so I wanted you to finish up with any other thoughts or things that you really wanted to get out there for people that are going to listen to this who are dealing with grief during this time. And one thing, if you can point on, is there any stigma attached to people who have died as a result of the coronavirus?
As far as stigma, I haven't seen anything yet, but certainly I'm keeping an eye on that. Some of the things that people can do to try to help themselves is to remember that grief is on its own timetable. You can't point to a person and say, well, that person will take 8 months, that person will take a year. And we're not looking to get over the loss. We're looking to accommodate it in our lives. And sometimes, no matter how much time has gone by, we will miss that loved one during maybe their birthday or during a holiday. And that's a pretty normal reaction. Grief now at times, along with getting along or trying to get yourself through the COVID-19 process, comes down to taking it one day at a time or maybe 1 hour at a time. Other things you can do to take care of yourself include eating well, eating a good nutritional diet, exercise, maybe going to church, praying, connecting with others, meditating. There are a number of things that you could do to help yourself move forward. There's no one thing, obviously, that a therapist or a parishioner can say to someone to erase all those feelings of pain. But there are a number of things that you can do to get through the next day or get through the next hour. And to a certain extent, we're all doing that. It's just difficult, more difficult for someone who is grieving the loss of a family member.
Bill, listen, you're so good at what you do. You summed it up so well. thank you so much for joining us, and you're always more than welcome to come back here on At Home with Victoria to talk about any topic, and we do thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome, Victoria, and please stay safe.
Thank you very much. And if you're just joining us, I'm sorry you missed a great show, but you can always go back and listen later on podcasts. That was Bill Passad. Bill is a licensed therapist based out of Houston, Texas, with a lot of information. His website will be inside the chat room, so you can always go and research and learn a little bit more about Bill and his services later. As always, thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Victoria Gaither. Guys, have a great day.